That Kuzma game winner is so funny, Stugatz. When you watch the highlights on this, watch how many guys, how many Nuggets went with LeBron to the other side of the court, because it was about 40 of them. It was Allen Iverson. It was Carmelo Anthony. It was the Nuggets from the past. There, 40 guys went with LeBron, and nobody was paying any attention to Kyle Kuzma. In the history of decoys, it rarely works better than that, where LeBron just went to the other side of the floor, a bunch of Nuggets went with him, and he immediately held up his arm in triumph because Kuzma got a wide open three.
I am looking at it in a second here once it gets to the end. I did not see it last night, nor did I see the highlight, because I was for me, I was up late with the Heat Pacers as a virtual fan, so I need to get some sleep. But I'm watching it actually right now.
We will get to that. We will get your reaction to that in real time. We will just hear it. But let me set up some sound as we embark yet again on trying to get to Greg Cody's Back in My Day. If you're just joining us, rarely has Greg Cody had more of a disastrous hour than the one that he just had with us. Greg Cody has lamented publicly before on other shows that they treat him with respect and he is able to unspool thoughts and tapestries that make him sound more professional than he ever sounds around here on Tuesdays. So if you want to check out the latest Greg Cody show with Greg Cody featuring, oh, you saw it. It's amazing, right?
All he did was cut.
That's right. The Nuggets would have followed him into the parking lot. They would have left the bubble with LeBron if he had just kept running over the line. Like, they all went running with it. It's unbelievable.
You're right. Like, Fat Lever went with him. Yeah, Dan Issel.
So the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody is a podcast where you can find Greg Cody featured, and it is really self-absorbed, and it is really narcissistic. But the sound I'm about to play for you from that podcast is particularly hurtful when you think of the first hour of this radio show and Greg Cody desperately wanting to be taken seriously as he laments what he doesn't like about being on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz featuring Greg Cody on Tuesday.
I do want to say stuff I don't like so much, because no job is perfect.
Oh, well, hold on. Let me get some dramatic music. Okay, go ahead.
I don't particularly enjoy the hard net workout thing. I'm going to be honest with you.
Really?
I know it's good for the show. I know
it's
listeners
good for
love
you.
It.
That is such a BS. See, I'm going to fight you on all these.
Okay. I just wish, and this sort of segues into my other thing that I don't particularly like. I just wish I had a little more breathing room to not just play the caricature, the musty old columnist, the buffoon to be made fun of. Honestly, I've told you this before. A big reason why I wanted to start a podcast is to show what I think is a fuller version of myself than is seen and heard on Tuesdays.
All right. First of all, my advice to you just generally would be better. But okay, if you want to ignore that and you want more Greg Cody as a maximum professional, why don't you tell us who your guests are on the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody this week? Show us your true journalistic side and how it is you make things interesting to people with breathtaking artistic work. Who are your guests on the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody?
Well, there's a guy in the Fort Lauderdale area running for local office. He's running for supervisor of elections. And I find out that this guy also is a screenwriter who has a movie on Netflix right now. I thought that was an interesting combination. Is he a screenwriter dipping a toe into politics? Is he a politician who just happened to write a movie? So we talked to him. That was pretty interesting. And we talked to the author of a new book called The Wax Pack. And as a guy who grew up collecting baseball cards, I found the premise of the book fascinating. This guy went on an 11,000-mile odyssey to try to track down all 15 guys from a certain 1986 pack of baseball cards. So both of those were obscure interviews with guys nobody's ever heard of, but both very interesting.
Now, if that wasn't enough to get you to tune in to this week's Greg Cody Show, he also does this week the Mount Gregmore, which is his version of the Mount Rushmore. This week is the Mount Gregmore of Greg's.
Is that what it is? His version of Mount Rushmore, but with his face. Okay.
Spoiler alert, but Gregory Peck has to be on there.
All right, let me backtrack for a second, because our way of promoting things is often to mock them. So just to be clear, this is a memory I have. It is distinct. Greg Cody, once upon a time, was talking about wanting to write a book, and he wanted to title that book 1440 and have it be reported, the history of a house, his address, 1440. I talked to everyone who had ever lived in that home, and he's relaying this idea to me, and over a table over, Stugatz, eating dinner quietly is embittered Minneapolis sports columnist Tom Powers, who mutters under his breath, "That sounds duller than dog bleep." The Greg Cody Show, featuring Greg Cody. Is he a politician? Is he a screenwriter? I don't know. Who is he? I don't know.
Can't wait to find out.
Time now for Greg Cody's Back in My Day.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Sandwiches. The good old sandwich. It got away from us. It was simple once. Sandwich knew what it was. It was ham and cheese, peanut butter and jelly, grilled cheese, a burger. Simple, nothing fancy. Nowadays, we've tried to turn the sandwich into the work of culinary art it was never meant to be. We've draped a lunch pail man in an Armani suit. Plain bread was fine. But now it's a ciabatta roll or a brioche bun. Ketchup or mustard did the job, but now it's aioli sauce. I don't even know what a sandwich is anymore, but I know what it isn't. It isn't a hot dog. A sandwich has bread on the top and bottom of what's inside, whereas a hot dog's bread is on either side of the meat. Merriam-Webster and the USDA erroneously say the hot dog is a sandwich, but you know who knows better? The prestigious National Hot Dog and Sausage Council itself recently separated, ruling the hot dog was its own food type, apart from, and by false implication better than, the amorphous sandwich. Other foods that are not sandwiches include tacos, gyros, burritos, chicken with waffles, and the king of the gastronomic oxymoron, the open face sandwich. Boy, I can tell you the namesake of the sandwich. John Montagu, Great Britain's fourth Earl of Sandwich, would not approve of the modern complication of his design because sandwich in the 1770s created the sandwich for its very simplicity. The English aristocrat ordered a minion to hand him meat between slices of bread so he could eat with one hand while simultaneously playing cribbage. Sadly, Lord Sandwich was a complicated man. Sort of a louse, to be honest. In his time, the statesman was considered incompetent, corrupt, a degenerate gambler. His first wife went insane. His second was murdered by a jealous suitor. While across the pond, Tom Jefferson and those guys were signing the Declaration of Independence, Sandwich was in the Hellfire Club, where British aristocrats partook undercover of immoral acts of debauchery. In summary, the guy who invented the sandwich was a pretty bad person. But he knew what he liked, wanted, and needed between slices of bread. Let's honor a most dishonorable man by dialing back the sandwich to its origin and luxuriating in what we never do anymore, luxuriating in simplicity. Give me ham and cheese and a smear of mustard between bread, please. As for that so-called open face sandwich, the only open face I want in the vicinity of my sandwich is my gaping maw as I wolf down the perfectly portable delight before me. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
That was excellent.
Oh, standing.
That was what
standing. Oh, yes. 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 Confidence from Cody. Yes.
Wow. Incredible.
Yes. A successful segment following Yes, Yes as his only contributions to the first hour. Put it on the poll, please, Tony. Has the sandwich gotten away from us? Yes or no at Lebatard Show.
Pay that man his money.
Yes or no?
Yeah, put it on the poll that way. Yes or no? Has the sandwich gotten away from us? Yes or no? I want the audience and I want the people in this Zoom chat to see clearly what it is that is happening in college football, Stugatz, because it is rare, really, really rare, that you see the number of issues that are now intersecting in and around college football. So what I want to make sure the audience understands, Stugatz, is that it wasn't but a few days ago that the Big Ten told you, hey, conference-only schedule, it's revised, we're ready, here's what we're ready to do, it's safe enough. This was last week, Stugatz.
Right.
It was not very long ago. It was 5-6 days ago that they came out with, we're ready to do this. And now, what I'm about to tell you might be true, or it might be camouflage. Now, the reports are surfacing. Well, the Big Ten noticed heart problems in some of its athletes with COVID-19, and that, the health of the player, is at the genesis of a total about shift, where they're about face, where all of a sudden the Big Ten is never mind about that conference schedule, and furthermore, never mind about football. But what else happened in those 6 days? Because something else happened, Stugatz. And it's what you saw happen with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and these unity things where, hey, yeah, we'll play, but we need some things.
Sure.
And now what do you do if you're – I really don't know the answer to the question I'm about to pose to you, but the cynicism of the injustices of this system are earned. I do not trust the leaders in this sport to actually care about the kids more than the money. And so I really don't know, Stugatz, how that about face gets explained. I know that the Big Ten would have you think we care about our athletes' heart. And I would have you think, lifetime covering sports in this business and following the money, they care about who gets the money. And so when you have this situation where the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, and the Big Ten's not even asking for money, they're asking for other things, but there are asks being made with this leverage. What I would tell the SEC and ACC is if you do want to play football, don't do it for free. You guys have leverage now. Everyone's scared of you. Use the leverage. The leverage is your bodies. The leverage is the risk to your heart. Ask for stuff. Do not do this without getting something in return. If you're gonna increase the risk on young people, then you've got to increase the profit, the rewards of young people. Do not make the system more unjust by not asking for anything in exchange for these networks getting their SEC and ACC football and these politicians getting what they want by the return of football. You've got everybody here, athletes. You've got them cornered. You never have this kind of leverage. Use it to change the system. Use your voice not just to be heard. Use it to change everything that is around you, because this is one of the rare times you will ever have this kind of power in that sport, which is meant to keep you helpless. It's meant to keep you unpaid. It's meant to keep you with the other people making the money and not you, the one who are risking your bodies. You are risking your bodies. Ask for more. They ask you for more risk. You ask for more rights.
Let's make this Straight Talk. It's brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You are right, Dan, because you have guys in the NFL who can make $16, $18 million, and they are telling you, hey, family health, that's more important than me playing football. And now you have kids, and man, you nailed it. There has never been a time. They have never had more leverage, nor will they ever have more leverage than they have right now to ask for all the stuff that they want for. What they don't have, though, is time, because decisions need to be made, and they need to be made right now. And I'm guessing you would tell the kids, hey, if that means you got to push the season back in order to get it exactly how you want to get it, you're all, listen, you want to play college football, play college football, but take your time and get exactly what it is you want and you deserve to play the sport of college football, because now, more than ever, you see how important college football is to a whole bunch of people who don't play it. Okay. So you got to ask for it. You know?
And you bring up the NFL as an example, players opting out of guaranteed contracts. Really, even without the money, the college football players and their respective conferences are asking for the option. Right now, with eligibility, you're not even really giving me the choice. I'd like the choice to opt out of this dangerous season so long as it doesn't cost me my scholarship. It doesn't cost me a year of my passion. They're just asking for that choice. And now I think that's what's changed when you look at what's happened over the last 72 hours. As cases actually go down in some of these hot spots, there's actually more encouraging news and yet discouraging news if you want to see college football.
I'd love to know who put together, who was at the forefront of those Players Tribune articles that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten did, Stugatz, because those people, whoever they are, need to get in touch with the ACC kids and the SEC kids and explain to them, hey, as much as football matters over there, it matters even more over here. You guys are the ones more likely to go to the pros. You guys are the only ones. Stugatz, if we were watching a college football season next season and it was the Big Ten and the Pac-12, it would not be as interesting as the SEC. The SEC has a ton of power. It would not be as interesting as Clemson in the ACC. They have power. These are negotiations. You have leverage. Use it.
Ron McGill coming up noon Eastern on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's that time of year. The NFL is almost here, and ESPN Fantasy Football is around the corner. Draft your team, compete with your friends, and take home the crown. Sign up now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball. Here's your SportsCenter update. The New York Rangers won Monday's NHL draft lottery in the right to select consensus number one pick, Alexis Lafreniere. The Mountain West is postponing its fall sports season because of concerns surrounding the coronavirus pandemic. And finally, Stephen King never cashed the $5,000 check he received in exchange for movie rights to The Shawshank Redemption. Instead, he framed it and mailed it to the movie's director, Frank Darabont, with a note that read, "In case you ever need bail money, love, Steve." The UFC heavyweight title is on the line when Stipe Miocic, I think, and Daniel Cormier.
Yesterday you got both those names wrong and then stumbled over the word either complete or compete.
I did. Yeah. Did I get anything right here?
I think you made him somebody who was vastly more foreign than he actually is.
He's from Cleveland.
Oh, did I get Daniel right?
Yes.
They complete their trilogy at UFC 252 on ESPN+. Plus. UFC 252 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the night.
Tony, put this on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show, just like this. Might as well cancel the college football season if you're going to eradicate the Hawaii Chaser. Yes or no? If you're going to get rid of the Hawaii Gambling Chaser, should you just be done with the whole season? Because we need that Hawaii Gambling Chaser at 1 a.m. when you're betting second half of Hawaii San Diego State.
It's not November without the Hawaii Chaser. I need this in my life.
I need to say here, before we get into everything that happened with the Heat and Pacers last night, I just do need to say to the audience, lest you think that I'm, gas bag who thinks he knows it all. Be clear on college football. I would not want to be making those decisions. These are not decisions that I would want any part of. It's very easy for all of us to get on television and tell everybody else what they want to do. I wouldn't want near any of these giant decisions. They seem fraught with all manner of peril. But if you force me to think about how I would attack those decisions, I would have to err on the side of caution because I would be afraid, and you can argue you shouldn't be governed by fear, I would be afraid of damaging a young person's life needlessly.
I would as well. Who would want to be a part of these decisions? They're impossible decisions to make because there's so much unknown. But I would say, Dan, the messengers, which a lot of people are crushing the messengers in this particular case. I think you guys are laughing at the fact that I said who would want to be a part of this when you know damn well that I would want to be a part of making the decision to play college football or not. But the messengers here, Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh, are two guys who they love money. They don't need the money. More so than any other college coaches, they are laying out the health benefits for their kids. Harbaugh played in the NFL, coached in the NFL, and makes a lot of money. Nick Saban coached for the Dolphins and makes more money than any coach in college football history. They're not driven by money here. There may be some ego, but it's certainly not money, I don't think.
Sugats, you can always make more money. That's an absurd take coming from you. And I think the larger point...
Mike, I'm saying if there are two coaches who can deliver that don't need the money, those are the two coaches right there, I think.
I mean, tell that to their agents that negotiated those contracts. But I do think the larger point of this not being an envious position, the decision maker and all this is absolutely right. I don't envy that position. I just have no idea who occupies it.
It's impossible not to see those, Stugatz, because you mentioned Saban and Harbaugh. Keep going higher on the ladder because the symbolism of this as it becomes a political fight is interesting. Of course, rich people like the president of the United States don't mind putting more disposable bodies at risk, even though they have plenty of money. Like, you don't have to stop at Saban and Harbaugh. Go all the way up the chain. This is what's happening in America right now. It's not college football. Again, sports is always just a symbol for this crud. Like, we're in the middle of the modern-day civil rights movement. Look at your NBA games. Look at what the players have on their uniforms. We're in the middle of this. Climb up all the way to the top of leadership in this country, and you will find the symbolism of course, I will use your body for my gain. Look at what's happening in America to try and get reelected. Like, look at it. You don't have to pay any attention closely to see what's college football is a drop in this bucket. We're spending a lot of time talking about it, but this goes up all the way up the leadership ladder.
It's become part of the platform. And even in the tweets, carefully worded, the student athletes have been working hard. All of this is politics.
It's crazy that it's this infected, that everything around us is this infected, and it's only going to get worse the next 3 months. So let's talk about something a little bit lighter. I can't imagine how jealous Greg Cody was yesterday that Stugatz and Pablo Torre and my father were all on the virtual board there of the Miami Heat game against the Pacers as the Miami Heat decided to erase TJ Warren.
I was jealous at first, but then during the local hour, we were talking about it and Stugatz was telling me some of the complications and some of the stuff that didn't sound like a lot of fun. So now I'm sort of second guessing. I wanted to buy a pipe. I thought it would be a funny visual for me to be pretending to smoke a pipe when they showed me on the screen, if they did. But now I think I'll go the lazy route and just say, nah, let's not do that.
I don't think you'll get on the television screen. And you have no idea when they're going to put you on screen, when they're not. Like, I was holding my dog, Finney, for a while and didn't get on screen. And then
moment
you
know
what's, I put him down.
You know what's funny about that, actually, Stugatz? This is what's funny about that. I was watching last night, and my wife walked past the screen, and the only thing she saw was a white dog. She's like, there's a white dog on the screen. Crazy. I didn't know that was Finney, and I didn't know that you were behind that white dog because I couldn't see your face.
It was Finney. And then, you know, listen, I was on the local broadcast. First off, there are no signs, guys. Secondly, I tried to get, like, the Heater and TJ away. The J and TJ stands for Jordan. Like, I had 45 on any given night. They're not going to put you on. Maybe the national telecast, maybe. But there are no signs. It was a bit tricky, intimidating, exhausting, just getting on to the thing and then learning how to use the thing once you were on it. But once I learned how to use it, and I was able to pin the game on the right side of my screen and see my entire section on the left side of my screen.
You are so old.
Which took me to... No, but here's the thing, Dan, and this is the part that's going to surprise you. No one is more conditioned to be able to use this thing and use it well than the young, smart, talented Pablo Torre. And he was equally as confused as I was. So I'm not certain if this is the future. I have no idea what it is. I see the potential for it, but Pablo was struggling with it just as much as I was.
Okay,
that's all I can
this
tell
is,
you.
This is what I saw, okay? When I tolerated a pretty bad shooting basketball game in order to get my few seconds of Stugatz, which the Heat evidently at the end just threw you in because they realized that no one had seen any of you. So they just threw it to you and Pablo Torres, where you were on the screen. But when I did see you, Stugatz,
yeah,
the camera was on you. And what I saw staring back at me was sad sleepiness. Like, yeah, you were not the face of enthusiasm.
No,
you were not Heat passionate. You were not. You just looked unbelievably sad and sleepy.
Tired, stressed out from trying to log on. It's the first Heat game I've stayed until the end. There was a lot going on there. I was pretty drained, and then Pablo made me do a podcast. I mean, to be on the daily, Pablo made me do a podcast in the fourth quarter. I mean, exhausted, man.
All right. We will talk more about the chaos that was last night next.
Paid that man his money.
Also, by the way, Matt Barnes says that Devin Booker could win it all in the bubble.
Oh.
The Suns haven't lost in the bubble yet.
Okay.
Cool, the Suns are unbeatable in the bubble. Matt Barnes has them winning the title. Could win it all.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Time to see who got it done. Brought to you by Grainger. It's been a long time since the Arizona Coyotes made the playoffs. That all changed with the NHL's new playoff format, and the Coyotes took full advantage of it. The Coyotes advanced to the Stanley Cup playoff quarterfinals over the Predators. It was the first playoff series victory for the franchise since May 2012, a span of 3,014 days. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery.
Tony, put this on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. These days, do you long for Are the Utes for Real more than you long for your wife? Yes or no?
But we know the Utes are never for real.
They took away the Hawaii Chaser. And now, in the autumn, you could count on two things. The leaves changing colors and that turf staying blue. And now they've taken away the blue turf.
Oh.
God. Put it on the poll as well, Tony. Can November even be November without a blue football field? Yes or no?
This November has Augusta, though. I mean, that is a nice little treat, little Masters in November this year. I am very excited about that day. I don't even care if they play college football in November. I mean, how about that?
Tell me more about last night. Pacers, Heat, the Pacers were snuffed out. Victor Oladipo, he really looks impossibly slow in a way that made me sad. I mean, I know he's rehabbing and he's coming back, and that's a bad injury, but it just made me sad to see how quickly T.J. Warren could take his team.
It's funny, right? Listen, I want to try to do it during a national telecast because I think there is more fun to be had. And now that I know how to log in, and now that I know how to use the thing, and now that I know how to pin the game on one side of the screen and my section on the other side, and I have some sort of idea when they're going to put me on TV, I think the possibilities are limitless. I mean, at one point, I was telling everyone, because Pablo, and they constantly are changing seats, okay? So you start off in one seat, then there's a rotation, and the next thing you know it, you're sitting next to a guy from Hialeah, and the next minute, you're sitting next to Pablo. I mean, and so once I figured out that, like, hey, I could tell people who are watching, like, I was doing, like, you know, when someone stinks, you wave your hand in front of your nose, and I was pointing at Pablo, right? Then I tried to eat a sandwich off of Pablo's head. And then me and Pablo were having a conversation. Then I got Finney into the act. And so I think even when fans do return to the arena, there was a lot of potential for this. The Heat did a tremendous job, I will tell you, because they had Mike Biamonte, who is the in-arena voice of the Miami Heat. He was the guy leading all the entertainment. He's a shill monster, I will tell you that. But he is the guy, I mean, LASIK, I mean, the whole thing, but pitching everything. He was the guy inside there. And then you also had Dale, who does the in-arena entertainment, and he was entertaining my entire section. So I almost felt at times like I was at a Heat game. So I could see the potential for this moving forward, no doubt.
Yeah, Dan, it was a who's who last night. Uptown Dale, Michael B. I'm curious about, I saw Poppy at one point pop in there. What was, Dan, do you have any info on that? What was that like? Because Poppy looked so confused. At least Stugatz, you thought, he looks like he's watching the game. Poppy looked like he had no idea.
My father was fighting with my mother because my mother was telling him how to correctly use the equipment, and he got mad at her. And so he just looks like he's fighting with his wife of 53 years. He looks sour. A member of the Heat sent me a photo. It was great. A totally empty seating area. My father was still there looking unhappily married. Long after the game, it was totally empty, and that's how my father looked.
But you know how I greet your dad every time I see him. It's, oh, oh. I was doing that to him all night last night, and he is looking around like he's trying to find a fly that's yes. around his head.
Well, speaking of getting old, Mike Ryan just hit me with three comments about Greg Cody, each worse than the last. Greg, he said, you look unrecognizable. He said, you've aged tremendously. And then the worst of all the insults, he said, you may look slightly like Oliver Platt.
Greg, I have no idea who that is.
You have been.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy the Heat game last night?
Of course I did. By the way, I can't.
You're listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN Radio.